underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Nancy Pearl has worked as a librarian and a bookseller for more than three decades. She's regularly featured on NPR's Morning Edition, talking about her favorite books. She even hosts a monthly television show, Book Lust, with Nancy Pearl. In addition to her many honors and awards, she was the model for the best-selling librarian action figure. She's the author of several works of nonfiction. She has now written her first book of fiction. It is a novel entitled George and Lizzie, an emotional story about an unlikely marriage at a crossroads, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Nancy Pearl to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
What brought you to this story of George and Lizzie and wanting to write a novel?
So what happened was that I couldn't fall asleep one night, and into my head came two characters, and I knew right from the moment that they were there, that one was named George and one was named Lizzie. I knew where they met. It was at a bowling alley in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I even knew Lizzie's last name, but that's all that I knew about them. And from that night on, for the next 3 or 4 years, I just thought about them constantly. They became so real to me that anything that I was doing, I would relate it to them. I go for long walks every day, and I walk around the University of Washington campus in Seattle, and I would pass sorority houses, and I would say, I wonder if Lizzie belonged to a sorority, or I would bake cookies, and I would think, I wonder if these are the kinds of cookies that George's mother would bake. I would have a memory about kindergarten or something, and I would think, that's just the kind of memory Lizzie might have. And gradually, I would tell myself stories about these characters every night, but I wasn't writing anything down at all. And then finally, I was going through what periodically I think readers do go through, where I couldn't find anything on the shelves to really meet whatever inchoate need I had for a book. You know how sometimes you're just looking for something and you'll know it when you find it, but you can't find it. So there was nothing that I was finding. I always get very grumpy at that point, and I was like, no, come on, how come somebody's, you know, where is this book that I'm looking for that I don't know what it is? And then I thought, well, I have these characters who I've been living with for 4 years. What if I write down everything I know about them? And what if I write a book that I would love to read? And that was George and Lizzie.
So how do you describe that, of it being something that you know that you want to read that isn't out there? So you write it yourself. So what niche is that fitting then?
So for me, when I'm looking for a good book to read, the kinds of books that I love best are very nicely written, character-driven fiction. When I'm talking about fiction, character-driven fiction with somewhat quirky characters. I'm fine with characters who I don't entirely like all the time. I'm happy to deal with unconventional narratives. I love poetry, particularly A.E. Housman and Edna St. Vincent Millay and Philip Larkin. And of course, I love to read. And I happen to have a deep love of football, the kind of soap opera aspect of football. And somehow I fit all those things into George and Lizzie. And so the kinds of books that I've loved recently or that I've loved over the years, there's a novel by Catherine Heaney called Standard Deviation, which I just adored. Elizabeth Mackenzie's The Portable Veblen was another one that I loved. And then even going as far back as Ann Tyler's early and middle books, Dinner at the Homesick Restaurant, or Searching for Caleb. And then another character-driven novel that I just thought was wonderful is a novel by Dylan Hicks called Amateurs. So they all have that a humor, insight into characters, motivations. They're always good for book groups in the sense that a lot is left out, because when you're in a book group, what you're really talking about is everything the author hasn't told you, and that's all that white space on the page. That's how I like to characterize that. And when you're talking about characters, there's always so much to think about: what their motivation is, why the author had the plot work out this way. But the books I love are books where the characters drive the plot and the plot does not drive the characters.
It's funny that you mentioned Ann Tyler, because your novel reminded me a bit of Ann Tyler's work. It has a beautiful melancholy to it.
You know, you couldn't have said a nicer thing, Joe. Thank you. I have loved Ann Tyler from the very moment that I read her, and I just cherish those books that because it has that melancholy, and because you think when you start an Ann Tyler, often where's this plot going?
Right.
You know, what is happening? What are these characters? What are they all about? And I think that with George and Lizzie, that has that same kind of melancholy and yet humorous take on many things.
How do you ultimately describe the story about these two people, this marriage, and what ultimately happens to these two individuals?
So I try not to tell people what happens to these individuals, because I would really like them to discover that
Absolutely.
Themselves. But the way, you know, that is the hardest question for me, is to describe this book, and which is very ironic because I've spent my lifetime in libraries and bookstores describing books to people, and that's what I do on Morning Edition. But when I tried to describe George and Lizzie, it's much, much harder for me. But what I would say is that this is a young couple who are very different from one another. George is someone who Lizzie kind of scornfully calls a pathological optimist. And Lizzie, on the other hand, is the kind of person who if you asked her whether a glass is half full or half empty, she would, you know, make a kind of gag me with a spoon face, and she would say something like, "Are you kidding me? That
yeah.
glass is totally empty, and you are imagining that there's any water in it." So how they come together and how they work with those differences through many what the narrator in the book calls difficult conversations,
right.
capital D, capital C, that kind of interests me.
Nancy Pearl is our guest. The name of the new novel is George and Lizzie, and it is published by Touchstone. It is my understanding that as you were walking around and thinking about these characters and having all of this come to the fore, you never had a story arc in mind.
I did not have a story arc in mind. What finally, when I got to the point where I was going to sit down and write some of this down, the whole story was in my head. I mean, I knew what the beginning was, and I knew what the ending would be. But when I sat down, it was more that I was debriefing everything that was in my head and putting it down on paper, taking pen in hand. But in
yeah.
fact, I opened my MacBook and started working on that. But I didn't. I wrote sections down in no chronological order. I wrote what was uppermost in my mind that I wanted to get down. And looking back, I think that when you meet George and Lizzie in this book, working with my just wonderful editor at Touchstone, Tara Parsons, she had the really brilliant idea after shuffling around all the sections on her office floor and trying to figure out the best order for the sections. She had the idea of having the narrative focused chronologically on George and Lizzie's relationship, but then around that, having these sections go back and forth in time, bring up different aspects of each of the characters' lives. And when you think about it, when you meet people and you get to know somebody, you don't get to know their life chronologically. It's like every time you see them again, you learn something different about them. But it's not in any order. It's what they're thinking about or what they're presenting to you. So I think in a lovely way, that's what happens in George and Lizzie.
There is a beautiful scene at the very beginning of the novel in which the two characters meet, Lizzie and George meet in the bowling alley. It's a lovely scene. And so is that did you write that early in the process?
I did. The first section that I wrote down was how they met. And that kind of rom-com-ish meeting in the bowling alley was just there. It was like in this book, Joe, that I had no decisions to make. They were already made by the time I sat down to work on it. And the hardest part for me was actually the writing, you know, the actual getting it down, because, you know, the advice that authors get, people who are working on novels get, is get a first draft down, just get it down, don't stop, don't correct, just do it, and then you can go back and start revising and editing. But I was unable to do that. I'll tell you, I would fight with every single sentence and not go on to the next sentence until I was pretty happy with the sentence that was there. And that kind of relentless self-criticism, in a way, always made me think, I could only take it for 2 hours. Which is why the book seemed to take so forever to get down. But I would write a sentence, an inoffensive sentence that nobody would even stop at, a sentence like George took Lizzie's arm. And then I would say, well, where did he take it? What did she do with one arm? Is this a plot point that I have to deal with? Mm-hmm. And so in a lot of ways, those 2 hours reminded me, those Chinese during the Cultural Revolution when they had the self-criticism meetings, that's what I was doing. Oh, it was very, very hard. And I think in a way, that's why in the book, there are not standard what I would call chapters. Mm-hmm. There are of varying lengths. I think of them as snapshots or vignettes about these characters. And when I think of writing what many books have as full chapters, I think that would just have about killed me. I mean, I would have had to, you know, crawl under the table and lick my wounds because the criticism that I was heaping on myself was immense.
I thought about this a lot as I was reading the novel. My mother was a librarian for decades, and also just a very robust reader, and had several books going at one time. And I remember talking to her and saying, would you ever want to write? And she said, no, I don't think I'd ever want to write unless I run out of something to read. If I ever run out of good books, then maybe I would. It got me thinking, in your situation of, because of your profession, because you've been a librarian, because you work with books, you work in bookstores, does that give you an advantage, or is it a disadvantage when you decide then to yes. we say take paper, pen to paper, right, or in your case, open the MacBook.
You know, I think that it was an advantage because I know there are probably writers out there who are not readers, but it seems to me that it would be very hard to write a book for someone else in the sense that, you know, where you're writing and there's someone sitting on your shoulder saying, oh, your agent's not going to like that, or, oh, they'll never find a publisher for that. You have to write a book that you would want to read. And I think that being a reader gave me that knowledge of what it was almost exactly that I like to read so much. And it's not that all of my favorite books appear in any way. I mean, George and Lizzie is not like any of those books, but it has in plot or in characters, but it shares, I hope, the same spirit, the same feeling that you get when you're reading an Ann Tyler novel or you're reading Catherine Heaney's book or Laurie Colwin, another writer that I just adore, or Laurie Moore, another writer. Those people who are so good at sketching out characters that are not, that are so much more than just names on a page, and doing it in such wonderful writing. So my favorite book of Ernest Gaines is A Lesson Before Dying. And I heard him speak, and someone, of course, said, do you have any advice for writers, would-be writers? And he said, yes, I have 8 words of advice. Read, 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 write, 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 write. And I think it's in that order that you do best.
The book is told through the point of view of a third person narrator, and George gets top billing in the title of the book. But I think it's safe to say that this is Lizzie's story, isn't it?
It is. Although one reader wrote me and said she saw the whole book as a love letter to George, which I thought was very interesting. But it is told from the point of view of a close third person, that omniscient narrator who is talking about narrating the story of George and Lizzie. And it's always been apparent to me that person telling the story is indeed me, that I'm the narrator, and I was so lucky, so fortunate that I got to record the audio book for of George and Lizzie, and I think I felt as though if anybody else was recording it, it's so clearly my voice that's telling this story, and to have it now as the audio book is pretty special.
And yet, you certainly differentiate yourself from Lizzie, barring the love of poetry, perhaps.
Yes. So it is not autobiographical. I'm not Lizzie. I didn't have those parents. I didn't grow up in Ann Arbor. My high school, I don't believe, even had a football team. It was in the center of Detroit, downtown Detroit. And Lizzie shares with me a love of poetry. We share a love of reading. But Lizzie is, you know, I've always been a kind of what-if person, which is both good and bad. I've always sort of thought about, like, what if I had made a different decision at this point, or what if I had done this? What if I had applied for a Fulbright? That kind of thing. And writing a novel is the best way of working out those what-ifs. And the most obvious one for me in this book is Lizzie has a best friend, her freshman college roommate, Marla, and they're best friends for life. And they have a wonderful, wonderful friendship. And I've never had a best friend like that. But it was so, I was so thrilled that Lizzie did, and I could see what that was like.
One of the things I also thought about in the reading of the novel is that you and I share, due to our jobs, that we read a lot. We have to for work. I read a ton of both fiction and nonfiction. And I was wondering, did that get in the way of the writing? Did the reading have to slow down a little bit for you to write and to put your full self into the novel?
Yes, it did. I think that this probably I think 2015, 2016 were the years where I did the least reading, at least since my daughters were born. That their first years, I don't think I read quite as much as I always had. But it definitely did. And I don't know, I mean, I was busy trying to write George and Lizzie, but I don't know if that's exactly the reason why the writing slowed down. I do know that the reading slowed down. A lot of the reading that I did when I was working on George and Lizzie was narrative nonfiction, because the voice of the narrator was so clear in my head for George and Lizzie. I think it would have gotten in the way of reading fiction, but didn't for nonfiction, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It does. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because of you doing what you do and because of what I do, I don't have an answer to this question, so I want to ask you if you have a good answer to this question. When people say to you, "Oh, I don't know how you read as much as you do," I am so busy, I don't have time to read, and I never know what to say.
Right. So, my first response is, I don't have a life, I just read. feel free to take that and use it as your own.
You
don't
even
have
to
say. Yeah, you don't even have to say, Nancy. Nancy said this. The other thing that I say is that we all make choices in our lives, and if someone says they don't have time to read, well, I've given up cooking, and I've given up. You know, I've never gardened. I mean, you choose what to do. And I think that everybody has time in their life to read. I think one of the problems is that for many people, they've never found the book, the right book. Maybe even as a child, they've never found that book that turns them into a reader, that gives them a glimpse into the joy of reading, what reading can do for you, that's transporting qualities, the fact that you can go anywhere and do anything and be anyone all through the pages of a book. But it's all choice. It's all down to choice. So I can check my Twitter feed, or I can, you know, look at Facebook or whatever, or I can pick up a book and start reading it.
So traveling around this country as you do and making personal appearances and talking to different people, I assume, you have an answer to this one. Where is the strangest place you ever saw one of your action figures?
Oh, the strangest place. It was at a store in Estonia, in Tallinn. In Tallinn, which is the capital of Estonia, Tallinn, Estonia. Yes, I believe that was the strangest place. And I loved it. I loved it that it was there. And it was all over Australia. I mean, every city that we went into, you know, was in bookstores or whatever, there it was. It was so much fun.
Yeah, and I assume you still have fun with the action figure.
I do. I do, and it's no longer in production, so you have to go to eBay or wherever to get it. But that was a tribute to librarians, and we deliberately played against the stereotype of librarians. And I have to say that there are maybe 33 librarians in the world with no sense of humor, and they all wrote to me. And told me that I had set the librarian profession back 30 years with this action figure and its amazing shushing action. that was a little ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, it really was, you know, librarians change the world. I mean, that librarians every day make a difference in people's lives.
Right.
And I think... we need more tributes to librarians.
And you know, screw the 33 who don't get
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm glad you said it.
Nancy Pearl's debut novel is George and Lizzie. It's published by Touchstone. Nancy, what a delight. The book is just so much fun and just very just sparkling and quirky and wonderful. And I thank you very much for sharing time with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
A great pleasure. Again, George and Lizzie, published by Touchstone. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. You can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.